Welcome to the VPR Cafe. I'm Rick Singeri. Not sure if this is still done, but at one time, when a Vermont prison inmate misbehaved, they were put on a steady diet of Nutriloaf. That consisted of mashed meat, potatoes, veggies, syrup, and eggs baked into a loaf. No bueno. But some of the state's prisoners are now enjoying better food thanks to a program that brings Vermont-raised food to them. Here to tell us about this farm-to-prison program is Hannah Palmer-Egan. She's a food writer for 7 Days. Hannah, welcome back to the VPR Cafe.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Where are Vermont-raised foods being used for our prisons?
So the program that I looked at was a program from Green Mountain Farm to School, which is a Newport-based institutional farm connector. And they have a program called Farm Direct. And two of the clients for this Farm Direct program, which there's dozens of clients, including schools, hospitals, different other food sourcing programs, are the two prisons in the Northeast Kingdom. So there's the Northeast Regional Correctional Facility, which is in St. Johnsbury, and the Northern State Correctional Facility in Newport.
What kinds of Vermont products are being used in the prison kitchens?
All of the clients of this program can order through kind of a web portal. So that might have broccoli on there one day. It might have yogurt on there another day. So there's just an array, thousands of products from, you know, dozens of different farms that are up there. The Northeast Regional Correctional Facility in St. J., where I happened to visit, most of the stuff that they were bringing in was either kind of seconds produce, so beets that are maybe a little bit too small to sell at the farmer's market or to CSA customers, or cabbage that might have split like the day before harvest. So it's still good. It just has to be taken care of right then. And also overstock stuff. So like in the fall, when the butternut squash come in, now you've got this bumper crop of butternut squash, and the farmer maybe doesn't have an outlet for all of that squash, maybe 2/3 of it, but there's all this kind of leftover that, so they can sell that stuff at a much lower price to the prison, because they're sort of secondary markets.
And they get an ample amount of kale too, right?
So much kale, yeah. So lots of kale happening up there.
You kind of touched on this, but it would be difficult for a prison kitchen operation to source all this Vermont food. So how are they able to get those products?
Yeah, so Farm Direct takes care of a lot of the logistics. So they contract with DNS Distribution, which is kind of based in central Vermont. It's a trucking company. So that company goes to the farm. They pick up the orders each week. They bring them back to a warehouse in Hardwick, where they compile those orders with the rest of the orders for each institution and then ship them out kind of on delivery.
This is the VPR Cafe. I'm speaking with Hannah Palmer-Egan, a food writer for 7 Days. We're talking about bringing Vermont foods to our prisons. Hannah, how is using Vermont foods improving the nutritional value of the food served in the prisons?
Well, I would say that, you know, it's kind of a baby step situation. I mean, again, the particular prison that I visited is trying to get to about 10% local sourcing. So that would be 10% of, you know, whole, full, you know, nutritional, nice products from area farms and producers. They're currently around 4 or 5%. So if you imagine what you eat in a day is 100%, and if you take 4 or 5% of that, it's not that much. But what they are doing is getting a lot more fresh vegetables, a lot more fresh fruits, local eggs, which tend to have better nutritional value than the factory farm eggs than you'll get from the Midwest or wherever else. And then they get a lot of dairy, local dairy yogurt from Vermont, from Kingdom Creamery. So I think it's a baby step. It's helping.
Is there much of a benefit to the farmers?
Yeah. So for the farmers, I spoke to a couple of the farmers and they said, again, it's not really going to like drastically change their business model. They're not growing extra stuff to give it to the prisons. But what they are doing is, again, when you get into these overstock situations and you've got all this stuff and you can't find an outlet for it, it's better to be able to sell it to the prison for maybe 50 cents on the dollar or 25 cents on the dollar than to just have it sit there and rot in your field. Especially in a situation, I was speaking to Mary Skovstad at Joe's Brook Farm in Barnet, and she was telling me that they had a whole row of cabbages that they just didn't quite get. They just had a baby, you know, they didn't get to that row to harvest it on time. You know, they went to pick them and they were like, oh shucks, like now what? And they were able to call up Brian at the prison and say, hey Brian, we've got all this cabbage. I can't sell it at the market. I can't really sell it to anyone, but if you're interested, and he was like, we will take it. And then he took that opportunity to kind of teach all of those inmates how to make sauerkraut.
I'm thinking about kitchen implements in a prison. That could be dangerous. And yet the facility you visited has some of the prisoners preparing the food. Explain how that works.
Yeah, so actually most of the kitchen staff at this facility is our inmate cooks. So, but working in the kitchen, at least at NRCF, is a really big privilege. I mean, it gets the guys, they're out of their cells, they're interacting, they're learning new skills, they're working together. It's a really positive environment. So it's something that if you want to be working in the kitchen there, you better behave. Like, don't get in a fight on the block. Like, nobody that has any violent incidents during their time at the prison is going to be allowed to work in the kitchen. Like, if you're working in the kitchen and you get in a fight off the, you know, outside the kitchen or even in the kitchen, like, you're done. As long as you're behaving and being good once you're there and you don't seem, you know, there's no reason to believe that you'll be a risk in the kitchen, you have as good a chance as anyone else.
Hannah Palmer Egan is a food writer for 7 Days. Thanks for joining us at the VPR Cafe.
Yeah, thanks for having me.